This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
Recently, there was a study that was done which showed that two of the greatest stresses which bring a couple to divorce are financial problems and children. And what we're going to be talking about in this program is the idea of children, how children create stress in a marriage. And what I want to show you is that really, financial problems and children are not stresses that drive someone to divorce. But what happens, it's an external stress. And usually, having kids and also financial problems, these are such huge external stresses that what they do is they highlight the problems you're having in your marriage elsewhere. So what we're going to be doing in this program is we're going to be talking about how using the external stress of having children, using that and the power of that actually to bring you together rather than pull you apart. If you can use your parenting as an opportunity to bond with each other, then not only will it strengthen your marriage, of course, but it will actually strengthen your parenting skills. Now, I want you to know that this is not a program on parenting. This is a program on marriage. So we're going to be talking about how to parent together, not for the sake of the children, but for the sake of the marriage. And incidentally, that in and of itself will alleviate half of your parenting problems as well, because we all know that a child's sense of stability and security within themselves is extremely dependent on the stability and the security of their parents' marriage. So if we use parenting to create an unbelievably stable and secure marriage in the eyes of our children with limits and with love, our children will feel secure within themselves. And not only that, we will use the experience of parenting to connect with each other and use our parenting as an opportunity to bond and create incredible emotional intimacy between us and our spouse. Now the problem is most of us tend to lose our marriage to our kids. Instead of just adjusting our marriage to meet our children's needs, what we end up doing is we end up actually losing our marriage, losing our relationship with our spouse to our children. Because you see, children are naturally consumers of your time, of your attention, of your energy, of your goods and your services, of your materialism. That's what kids do. Kids take. They're natural consumers. And we have to be the ones who set the limits. We need to set the limits about how much they are allowed to consume. Now, we understand this dealing with certain material things, such as junk food, you set the limits. Going out, perhaps, you set the limits. You got a curfew. Maybe how much material things you will buy for them. How many shirts and shoes and toys and whatnot you may. So you've set limits in terms of material things. But how many of us have truly learned how to set limits with our children and for our children for the amount of time and attention and energy that they demand of us? And we're going to learn how to do that. We're going to learn how to wrestle back our marriage from our children to create those limits and to carve out the space to make sure that we are giving our spouse the much deserved and much needed time, attention, and energy that they need to build our marriage every day and not lose our marriage and our children. Now, I want to remind you, as with all these programs, this is not a lecture. This is a workshop. And a workshop means that we're going to be giving exercises, which I want you to take very, very personally. Put them in your marriage. Do the exercises and work through these exercises, because it's through the exercises that you're going to actually make the changes in your own marriage. And so what I would like you to do is make sure that you have a pen and a piece of paper, or a pen and a workbook. And then use that, the exercises, and stop the program when we get to the exercise and that workshop. Stop the program and use the pen and the paper. Do it together with your spouse. That's the best way, the most effective way to do these exercises, to do them together. It's very bonding. And not only that, you'll see that there's a lot of discussion come out of it, things that we should have discussed that we've never really discussed. And what I want you to do is do it together. Stop the program and work it out at the time that you're going through the program. I want you to start creating the momentum in the parenting, in the marriage, through children, start creating that momentum right now. So here is the very first workshop. And the first workshop, I'm going to make sure that you have your pen and your paper. So please put the program on pause to go and run and get your pen and your paper. Go ahead. Please do it. So much more effective if you do it on paper, especially because some of them we're going to end up referring to later, and you won't remember them if you just do them in your head. So go ahead, stop the tape, and go get your pen and paper. Great. Are you back? Did you do it? This is your marriage we're talking about. You want to make it effective? Come on. Go get the pen and paper. I'll wait for you. Go. All right. Excellent. You're back? Super. So take out your pen and your piece of paper. And workshop number one is I want you to just describe your typical morning routine, evening until sleep routine, after work routine, and weekend routine. What does a morning routine look like? You get up, you wake the kids up, you make breakfast, you get the kids to do their chores, brush their teeth, make their beds. What does your morning routine look like from the time you get up until the time you go to work or the kids leave for school? What's that morning routine look like? Do the same thing with your evening routine from the time you get home from work or your kids get home from school till the evening, till you go to sleep at night. Just a general idea of what that routine looks like, and also your basic routine in the weekend for Saturday and Sunday. Okay, so go ahead and do that now. Stop the program and describe your typical morning, evening, and weekend routine. Go ahead. Okay, super. Now, part B of this workshop, now you have your morning routine, your evening routine, your weekend routine pretty much written out in front of you, right? Excellent. So now what I want you to do for each one of these, I want you to specifically show in each of these three areas, in the morning, evening, and weekend, where you focus on each other and on your marriage. Be very specific. For example, you can say, in the evening routine, we take a 15-minute walk daily, every night. And in the morning, well, we don't really have any set time for each other. I guess we kiss each other goodbye on the way to work. I don't know. But be very, very specific about within your typical routine, typically when you would spend time focusing on each other and focusing on your marriage. Okay, go ahead. Stop the program and do that. Okay, what did you find out when you did this exercise? Did you see that really most of your morning routine, your evening routine, and pretty much most of your weekend routine is spent focusing on the kids? There's very, very little time that you spend focusing on each other. Was it typical that maybe in the morning you had no time, in the evening not so much? Maybe on the weekend you would go out one night in the weekend, maybe not even that? Spend a little time together working on your marriage, maybe, maybe not? I want you to highlight the fact that maybe most of your morning and evening routine, which is when you're home with the family, is child-focused, which is nothing wrong with that. The only problem with that is when it's only child-focused. You gotta carve out time for your marriage. You have to carve out time for your marriage. Now I'm going to give you a few indications of whether or not you're spending too much energy on your children at the expense of your marriage. You can't give too much attention to your kids unless it's taking toll on your marriage. So I'm going to throw a few ideas out at you here, and I want you to see if they ring true with you. Let's say bedtime. 5 nights out of 7, maybe, your pre-adolescent kids go to bed whenever they want, and it's usually well after 9 p.m. Is that true in your marriage? Do your little kids go to sleep late or whenever they want? Perhaps when you finally found a moment with your spouse, even if it's in the car, on the way to a soccer match, your kids turn and ask you to turn up the music, or give them a juice box, or demand you hear about the latest video game, and you find it easier to listen to them and ask them to wait, than to ask them to wait until you're done talking with your spouse. Does that ring true in your marriage? Have you not had a night out alone together in over a month? Or you can't even remember the last one before that? Do you have a lock on your bedroom door? Have you ever used it? Have you ever used it during the day? Have you ever used it at night? Or is it growing rusty with disuse? Does that ring true in your marriage? Are your downtime as a couple always family time as well? For example, you watch a Disney video with the kids instead of listening to your music on the deck and talking and schmoozing with each other. You'd rather just do it as family time? Yep. When is that alone time? Let the kids watch the movie or whatever they're doing and you go out on the deck and just talk. That ring true? When there's a choice at the moment between talking to your spouse about his or her day, playing ball with your kids, do you usually choose the kids? Or helping with the homework? Usually choose the kids? Or when you finish driving the kids to your violin lessons and swim practice and completed that science project you just found out was due tomorrow and your spouse wants to sit down and relax with you, but you just can't resist folding Johnny's laundry or working on building Tanya's dollhouse, quote unquote, while we talk, instead of just completely focusing on each other. Does that sound familiar to you? See, you gotta carve time. We have to carve time out in our marriage. We gotta learn how to set limits for our children. We have to set limits for our kids. You gotta wrestle back our own time. I'm gonna give you 6 examples of ways that we can wrestle back our time and set these limits. And after I give you these 6 ideas, then we're gonna do a workshop where you're gonna take them and you're actually gonna personalize them into your own marriage with your children. Okay, so some of the limits you can set with your kids, for example. Very important, you must not let your children interrupt your conversation. When the two of you are talking, the kids have to know that this is a sacred place. Where the two of you are in discussion, you're looking into each other's eyes, and you're discussing whatever it is, however mundane it may seem to be, the kids have to look up and know that this isn't something I interrupt. And if they are going to interrupt, they have to say, excuse me, may I interrupt? To which you may say, sure, what is it? Or you may say, no, please wait a few minutes. But they have to know that they can't interrupt your conversation. The conversation that you and your spouse are having together is on a different level than the conversations that are going on in the house between you and the kids and between them and themselves. This is a sacred place. They need to ask permission to get involved or to interrupt this conversation. That's one thing. We must do it. Another thing, it's, you ever go to your room and close the door for a private talk? Let's say you want to talk about something and the kids are around. And obviously it's safe. So you say, listen kids, we're going to go into our room. You go into your bedroom, you close the door, you say, we'll be about 15 minutes. Please do not interrupt. And you go, and if they do interrupt, do they just barge in? They have to know that that's also a sacred place. When parents need privacy, they have to respect your privacy. And if there's an emergency, let's say, God forbid, someone was hurt or something, then they know that they have to knock on the door before they come in. Because they can't interrupt your sacred space. This is setting limits. Setting limits. Carving space in your marriage for you. Daily. Another example, number 3. You must schedule every day 15 minutes a night to connect. 15 minutes a night, that's it. 15 minutes a night at least. You have to carve out to connect. And that means it can be what my wife and I do is we try to go for a little walk around the neighborhood after we put the kids to bed. Our daughter's old enough that she can stay with the kids. If you have kids that you can't leave. So then, of course, you can carve out that 15 minutes at home. My wife and I do that when my daughter's out or we don't have the ability to go out for a walk. We'll just sit on the couch in the family room and we'll just sit and the two of us will talk. Focused on each other for 15 minutes a day, making sure we connect every single day. You got to carve out that space every day. Now, it can be after the kids go to bed, or it can be in the middle of their routine, as long as the kids know that they're not allowed to interrupt. It's also very important for you to get out. Try, if it's possible, to get out once a week with a sitter. Get a sitter. Find a good sitter. It's good for the kids to know that parents need space, that parents need time alone together. And it's good for them to have a sitter that they like come over. It's a whole different perspective. And it's good for you to get out of your routine once a week, once every 2 weeks. My wife and I, because we, when we have the little kids, We don't like when the sitters put the little kids to bed, so we'll schedule the sitter to come after the two little ones are in bed. So we'll put them to bed. We like the routine. And then after that, we'll have the sitter come over. Or maybe the sitter will come over earlier and play with the bigger kids while we put the little kids to bed, and then we'll go out afterwards. Whatever works for you. But it's important that you get a sitter and try to get out at least once a week. Break through the routine. It's good for your kids to see that you do that, and it's good for your marriage to do that. So number five, you should never vent to your kids about your spouse. Oh, your father, he's always late and I can't stand it. Don't you like when he's late? Or you could say something you should never vent about. Oh, your mother, she's so messy. It drives me crazy. Never do that. The two of you have a united front constantly with your kids. You got to know that your kids basically are there for a very short period of time. However slow you think it's going when there's such a tumult in the house, I gotta tell you, your kids grow up really fast and they're out of the house. And even when they're young teenagers, they're starting to leave more and more, want to be with their friends more than you. And then certainly when they get older, and finally when they go to college or they leave the house after high school, wherever they end up going, they're gone. They may come back, but when they come back, they're independent. You got your kids just for a tiny, tiny short period of time. And during that short period of time, if you give away your time with your spouse to the kids are going to be gone. It's very hard to play catch up at that point to get your time back. And if you vent to your kids about your spouse, what you're doing is you're setting in their mind the patterns that they're going to emulate when they leave. You have to have this united front where your kids see the two of you as a unit together, a secure unit together, and they will see that bond that they can't get through, they can't get in the middle of. And it's very important for you to have that united front. Never use your kids in the capacity of venting to them about your spouse. It's you and your spouse forever, and the kids are there for a short period of time. And the last thing I want to tell you is you must tell your kids how much your mother, their mother or father, so if you're the husband, you got to tell them how much your wife does for them. They have to learn how to feel the gratitude. See, kids, they're kids. What do they know? They're little selfish beings mostly. That's the essence of what immaturity is, selfishness. So they're not looking around and saying, wow, look at what you do for me. Look at how hard you work to bring the money to buy us the things, to put us through school, to educate us, to make sure we do our homework, to get us disciplined, to discipline us so that we grow up to be good people that care about people, that give us values. Kids are never going to see this, so it's up to the parents to point out to their children about how much their spouse does for the children. So for example, do you know what your mother's done for you? See the clothes that you're wearing? Who went and shopped for them? Do you see the food that you're eating? Who cooked those meals? Do you know that your mother spends the entire day doing kindness for you? Her whole being is built around what can she do for her children? Do you know that your father spends his entire day working all day to get money for you to be able to go to school and for you to be able to have those nice things and those activities and those extracurricular things? Do you understand how much your father loves you? The fact that he spends his weekends playing with you and work? Come on, you gotta show the kids how much their mother and father do for them so they'll feel that gratitude and get that level of appreciation that they need to feel for them. And when your spouse sees you do that for the kids, they will see also how much you appreciate what you do, what they do for the kids. And that's bonding. That's extremely bonding. That's again showing that the two of you are together as a unit, working together for the betterment of your children. Now we're gonna do a workshop right now where the two of you are gonna work together to create that unit, to start seeing each child as a unit and what you can do as parents for that child as a unit. So take out your pen and your piece of paper, and I want you to write down the name of each of your children. So you have two children, you have four children, you have seven children like myself. And what I want you to do is write down the name of each child. And the two of you together are going to be discussing this. This is a workshop I want you to do together. Discuss each child. So let's say your first child's name is John. So you say, honey, let's talk about John. And what we're going to do is we're going to write down five of his greatest strengths. So now you write down John's five greatest strengths, and now the two of you discuss what you think they are, come to a consensus, and write down John's five greatest strengths. Now talk about Johnny's five greatest weaknesses. Have a discussion, come to a consensus, and write down Johnny's five greatest weaknesses. Okay, why don't you do that, and then I'll talk to you about the second part. So put it on pause, do that part, and then I'll give you the second part of the exercise. Go ahead, pause the tape. Pause the program. Okay, so now you have Johnny and his five greatest strengths and his five greatest weaknesses, and also your daughter and your other son. Okay, you've got all the five greatest strengths and five greatest weaknesses. Excellent. Now, what I want you to do is next, with each one of the kids, I want you to discuss what you think their major area of concern is, the major area of worry you have for them as a parent. So, for example, let's say you have a child who has a learning disability. I want you to discuss with each other this concern, this learning disability. Or perhaps you have a child who gets teased. So maybe you'll want to talk about that for a few minutes, about the concern. Or maybe you have a child who has a temper and blows up and has a social problem with the other children because of it. Or perhaps is fighting and one child is not giving enough, so it causes fights. Or perhaps you're worried about your daughter because she is so trusting and so social, and she seems to be attracting the wrong people who are taking advantage of her, which could be a very major problem when she gets older a little bit. Or an insecurity. Whatever it is, stop the program and discuss the five major areas, one major area of concern for each of your children. Okay, go ahead. Stop the program. And the last part of this workshop, number two, is what I want you to do is I want you, the two of you, to discuss one action that you're going to do about this major area of concern for each child. One action. It has to be an action. You can't talk about it. I want you to put down an action. So, for example, action could be we're going to read a book. We're going to find a book. We're going to find a guide in this area. Or we're going to see a specialist about how to deal with it. Or maybe the action is we need to spend more time together, just the three of us going out to make him feel special. Or maybe we need more playtime or more discipline. Whatever it may be, one specific action for each area of concern for each child. Okay, go ahead, pause the tape, and do workshop number two. Thank you. Okay, so now we finished workshop number two. Didn't you feel that the two of you are now on the same page? Didn't you feel that all of a sudden just discussing it together and being a team together brought you closer together in discussing each child? So much of what we do as parenting is just reacting to things that happen in the environment of our family. But the two of you together make a plan together to work together that unbelievably bonding for the two of you as a couple. We're in this together. And I want to ask you a question. Why did you have kids? Like, why does anybody have kids? Why do we have kids? You know, you get married and you have children. But did you ever really, and of course you wanted kids, but why? You ever think about why you wanted to have kids? What do you mean? It's extremely meaningful. I want to pass on my legacy. It's something that it's me. It's something to that's something outside of me. It's my testimony to the fact that I believe that life is worth living and I have something important that I want to pass on to the next generation. I want to feel the love. I want to feel family. I want family. Great reasons. All of those great reasons. What I'd like to give to you is a little bit of a different way of looking at why we have children. Now, it's an idea because remember, this is talking about marriage and I want to give you an idea about why we have kids, philosophically, why we have children. Now, when you ask a parent, someone who has kids, you ask, who do you love the most in the world? Invariably, the parent would say, children. Great. You ask, what do you think the greatest love in this world is? Most parents would say, the love between a parent and a child. And if they're very sophisticated, they'd say between a mother and a child. All right, great. But I think that's a big mistake. That's really a tragedy, because the greatest love in this world that two human beings can feel, really the love between a husband and a wife. Between a husband and a wife? What are you talking about? Well, you know, I agree with you that most people answer between children and parents, or parents and children rather, the other, not children to parents, but parents to children. Most people would answer that because it's a much easier natural love. You know what I'm talking about. You come home, maybe you went out with a babysitter, and you came home and the children are sleeping, so you go in to check on them in their room, and there they are, little angels, sleeping in their beds. And you know that feeling you get, that warm feeling in your stomach? And it's just like, ah, my kids. You know that feel, just that natural love. Ah, you ever come home and find your husband on the couch asleep with a beer in his hand? You get that feeling? That feeling, ah, my husband, ah. We don't as naturally get that feeling. We don't naturally get that feeling. Just kind of crazy. Because, you know, with your children, you don't really know what you're gonna get. You know, we don't really know what's gonna pop out. It could be a brat. It could be like one of those kids down the street. You have no idea. But of course you love your kids, and you love your kids unconditionally because it's a natural love. But your spouse? Your spouse, do you love as unconditionally? Of course not. But why? You chose them. You chose who you were gonna love. Well, what do you mean? They're an adult. We have certain expectations of behavior and they must reciprocate the behavior and all this. Your kids, what about them? They gotta reciprocate? No! I mean, if any other human being would talk to me about the way that some of my children would speak to me, I wouldn't put up with it. But with my kids, they're my kids! They're my kids! You even ask a woman whose, you know, son walked into McDonald's and shot 50 people. You ask her about her son, she'll say, oh, my Johnny is a good boy. He's a good boy. What do you mean he's a good boy? Look what he did. Well, she naturally will find that which to love about him, that which to find which is good about him. But do we naturally do that with our spouse? No. We have such a natural love for our children, such a natural love for our children. And I believe that one of the reasons we have children is to feel that love, that intensity of love. And that becomes our measuring stick about how much love we need to have for our spouse. We should feel a greater love, sense of love and feeling of love for our spouse than we do for our children. And I'm not saying that you should love your children less. I'm saying you should love your children as much as you can love your children. But that is the bar by which we need to jump over in terms of how much we need to love our spouse. But it just doesn't come naturally. It's harder. It takes more work. And one of the greatest tools we can use for this to bond is the love that we use through our parenting in order to connect to our spouse. So we should use our parenting to get closer to each other, to understand that in parenting, what a wonderful opportunity we have to wrestle away all the energy the kids are trying to take from us and put that energy, of course, into our parenting, but with limits. We must set limits for the children. We have to set limits. Now, what I would like to do is workshop number 3. Take your pen and your paper, and we're going to set some limits, just 3 simple limits for each of our children in order to be able to create the space that we need to now give time for our parenting. Now, take out your pen and your paper. Workshop number 3. It should take just a minute to do this. So you're going to set the limits for each child. So now write down the name of each child. 1, 2, 3, in my case, 7. Okay, now we're going to limit the outside activities that we do for each child. We want to set a limit. I know some people who their kids get home from school, they go straight to a tutorial lesson, then they go to a soccer match, then they go to a music lesson, then they go have a swimming lesson, and then they come home and do their homework, and it's like 11 o'clock at night before they go to sleep. The kids are like, ah! My parents says, you can't pack enough in more in one day. But what you do when you have activity to activity to activity, first of all, the child, fine, you want to turn your child into a super child, that's great. But you want to know there's two things that are going to suffer. Number one is your just family time, your time just together as a family to hang out and do stuff together and bond, instead of running constantly. And the thing also that's going to suffer even more is your time with your spouse. So you should try and make sure that you limit the amount of activities that so that you are every day creating a little bit of family time. And of course, every day you're creating some marriage time. So make sure that if they are doing outside activities, you have to limit those activities to make sure you have family time. So define the activities that you have your kid doing. Make sure that you put limits on them every day. Now, do that for each child right now in writing. The second thing I want you to do for each child is I want you to give them a bedtime. I want you to give them a bedtime. There's a fantastic book which is written on parenting. It's called To Kindle a Soul, written by a man named Lawrence Kellman. To Kindle a Soul. And in this book, he gives all the scientific data on how much sleep each child needs based on their age and grade and their activity level. And we let our kids dictate to us what time they should go to bed. And most kids are feeling somewhat sleep deprived, don't have the energy. And that when, you know, when kids get sleep deprived, they lose it. They're not as open to discipline. They're not as open to compromise as they would be if they were well rested. So each kid has to have a bedtime. Now, a bedtime means that they have to be in bed. Doesn't mean the lights are out necessarily. You can give them in stages. I want you in your room at 8. You can be in your bed by 8:15 and lights out at 8:45. Whatever it may be. But they should know that they have a specific bedtime and a specific lights out time for each child. And I want you to write down that for each child. And I want you to start implementing it. And the third thing that I want you to set a limit on right now for each child is how much time you spend doing homework with them. You gotta give it a certain amount of time. You don't have to do all their homework with them every night for each child. It's their homework. It's not your homework. And they have to do their homework, of course, but they have to do their homework. And if they need some help, you say, okay, your time for help is between 8 and 8:20. So do all the homework that you can do until, but from 8 to 8:20 is when I will help you with questions, or I will help you with projects, or I will help you with research, or whatever it may be, from 8 to 8:20. And then the next kid, maybe 8:20 to 8:40. And you say to them, by 9 o'clock, I'm homeworked out, I'm done. Now I'm going to spend time with mommy. Now I'm going to spend time with daddy. And that's it. So here's the three things for workshop number three. Number one, make sure that you set limits on the outside activity so that there's a little bit of family time every day, and of course a little bit of time for the two of you. Second is I want you to make sure you have a bedtime for each child, and you enforce that bedtime. And the third thing is I want you to know that there's a limit on how much homework help you're going to give them. Okay, stop the program and do workshop number three. Okay, great. Now, as you start implementing some of these limits on your children, what I want you to understand is that your children have already learned that their desire for the attention has always trumped your marriage. When they want you, they get you, as opposed to your marriage. So I want you to be very patient with them and their complaints as you're making the shift. As you're wrestling back time for your marriage, be patient with them. You should tell them why you're asking them to make them feel like they're second place for a time. Discuss it with them. Tell them that as a couple, you need to make sure your marriage is strong and you need time for each other. Explain to your kids that it's very important for a husband and wife to make time for each other. Don't apologize for creating a balance. And don't backtrack when they resist. But make reasonable compromises. Make reasonable compromises, little bits. So for example, for bedtime, if you have bedtime, and your bedtime is, let's say, you want your kid in bed by 8:30, so allow them in bed by 8:30, but for the first little while, say you're going to be in bed by 8:30, or in your room by 8:30, but you don't have to be in bed till 8:45. So you give them a 15-minute leeway. Understand that when you start the shift, it's very difficult for your children. But eventually they're going to come and value the shift in the family environment. They're going to start to understand why it's so, so important for a parent to carve out the time that they need. If you do this when the kids are young, they're going to accept the need for the family balance right from the beginning. So then you're not going to have that issue if you implement this when the kids are very young. But if you want to introduce this already when you've set the patterns, which most likely most of us have done, just be patient with them. And they will come around. But they're going to complain. They are going to complain. Don't give in. Compromise a little, but don't give in. And of course, explain to them what you're doing and why you're doing it. The last thing we're going to be discussing is parenting styles. That can be a huge, huge frustration for parents, is different parenting styles. You know, you may have a mother who's so unbelievably overprotective of her kid, and when he cries, she runs to him, but the father doesn't. So when she sees the father ignoring the child, she goes, "What are you doing? That's a terrible thing," and go after him. Or perhaps the father, when he disciplines with maybe corporal punishment, maybe gives a little hit. And the mother, "What are you doing?" She has an unbelievably terrible association with that. And so she doesn't want that, so she comes after him. And it causes strife between the husband and wife. What we need is a unified parenting style, or at the very least, respecting each other's parenting styles. Now, the first thing we have to do before we can talk about this is we have to understand what each other's parenting style is. You ever think about it? You ever talk about it? So what we're going to do is a workshop right now in where we're going to define each other's parenting style. So I would like you to take your pen and your piece of paper or your workbook, and we're going to write down three things. We're going to do them one right after the other. So the first thing, what I'd like you to do, is write down each other's parenting style and your own parenting style. So write down, what is your style? Are you easygoing? Are you not easygoing? Where did it come from? Why is it like that? Do you find that you are an uptight parent, an overbearing parent, a super protective parent? Or do you give your kids the ability to make their own mistakes? Are you on top of them constantly? Are you what they call a helicopter parent? Whenever the kid forgets anything, you fly right over there on your helicopter to bail them out. What is your style? What is your basic parenting style? And what is your spouse's basic parenting style? Okay, I want you to pause the tape, write down what your parenting style is. Go ahead. And then we'll get to the next step. Okay, you did part one, writing down each parenting style. It's liberating, isn't it? Finally putting it on paper, finally defining what your parenting tools and your parenting techniques are all about. That's fantastic. Now, the second part of the workshop is I want you to write down your disciplinary style, your style of disciplining. Is your husband versus you? Your wife versus you? What are your discipline styles? It's very important to discipline. How do you do it? I want you to write it down, your style and their discipline style. Go ahead, write it down. Pause the tape. Okay, excellent. So now, in front of you, you have your parenting style and your spouse's parenting style, your discipline style and your spouse's discipline style. Now, what I really want you to do is extremely important right now that the two of you stop the program and you discuss the parenting styles. Get it right. Is that what you think my parenting style is? I don't think so. This is what I think mine is. And I see in you, it's a little different. You think you're disciplining when you're doing that? You're not disciplining. You're just venting. That's not a disciplinary style. That's a style of just getting it off your chest. That's your anger. That's not your issue. Whatever it may be, have a discussion and discuss with each other your parenting styles and your discipline style. Once you've done that, we'll go to the third step. Okay, stop the tape and have that discussion. Go ahead. Alright, you did it? Excellent. Isn't it amazing when you start talking about it and you start working together, how it connects you? Can there be a greater thing that connects two people than having a child, but not just having the child, but being on the same page in terms of how to raise the child and what you want for that kid? Here's the third step. The third step is I want you to create one overriding and compromise parenting and discipline style. Take a little bit from him and a little bit from her, and you two have to have a unified front by which you're going to be parenting with this child. How are you going to be doing it? take a little from him and a little from her, compromise here, compromise there, and the two of you together will create a style that both of you can work together, creating a unified front. Now, pause the tape, discuss it, and I want a written document that the two of you can refer to. Okay, do you have that? Okay, stop the tape, stop the program, and get it done now, however long it takes. If it takes you a week, then stop the program, do it together for a week, and then only after that, continue with the end of this program. Okay, go ahead, stop the program. Welcome back! So now what do you have? You understand each other's parenting styles, and you've come up with a unified parenting style together? That's fantastic! That's fantastic, because it's extremely important that we know that we need to learn to respect each other's different parenting styles. You have to acknowledge that your husband's ideas are different than yours. And because their wife's idea is different than yours, they're still valid. Each one is valid. Don't you think? Your way of doing something is not the only way that it can be done. Each of you has an input, and both of you together have created the style. You got to respect each other's style. Not only that, but you got to look to each other for backup. It's the two of you together. Instead of criticizing your spouse, you should say, you know what? I'm having a really hard time enforcing Sean's bedtime, let's say. And ask your spouse, what do you think I should do? How do you think I should be able to do this? You know, with my wife and my, we have, you know, obviously, I told you, we have 7 children. Each one's different with a different personality. And sometimes we get into a situation, I'll get into a situation where I'll ask a child to do something and they, just what I thought, ask nicely, and the child will start crying, wah! And I'll turn to my wife and I don't know what to do. And instead of winging it, I'll just tell the kid, hold on a second. And I'll go over and I'll talk to my wife and I'll say, honey, I don't know what to do. What do you think? And we'll discuss it and then I'll go back and then I'll try it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we have a unified front because we're looking to each other for backup. The other thing, which is sort of a corollary to this, is that you kids are experts at finding a wedge between the two of you and driving that wedge between the two of you where there's the gap. And one of the, obviously the ways that they do that is they'll ask the father to do something, the father will say no, and without telling the mother that they asked the father, they'll ask the mother and the mother will say yes. So they'll go do it. And then the child will say, well, the father will say, why did you do it? I said no, but mommy said yes. Aha! So you go to your wife and you say, why did you say yes? I said no, no, no! And then the mother, I didn't know. The child has to learn very early on that if they do that, they will get a worse consequence than not listening. So they have to know they can't do that. It's a united front, and you back each other up. So when my child tells me something, one of my children will say, can I go to the park? I always ask, what did your mom say? I say, I didn't ask. And I'll say, okay, well, if you didn't ask, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go ask her. It's okay with me, but go ask her if it's okay with her. And that way, we stop them from driving that wedge. And now they know that they can't do that because they'll get a worse consequence. You guys are on each other's team. Look to each other for backup. It's the two of you against the world. It's the two of you against the world. You also should acknowledge to each other that each of you, the way you approach discipline, as we talked about in our workshop, could be from very different perspectives. And each one is valid. And a lot of the times, you know, if there's a mother who's a stay-home mother, she may see the bigger picture because she's with them and she's much more practical in terms of what's allowed and not allowed than the father who's not with them all day, or maybe it's the other way around. And what's very important to understand is that you each have a different style based on your perspective. Don't go after each other. Rather, discuss it. Don't fly off the handle at each other. Rather, discuss it. Both of you want to be a good parent. Both of you have your frustrations. Both of you need each other to prop you up to make this world. There's almost nothing harder in the world than parenting. Each child is different, and each child is different than they were a year ago or 6 months ago. So just when you think you got the style that works with that child, they grow out of it. It's constantly fluid, and it's constantly changing, and it's very difficult because it's not concrete. And there's certain rules and there's certain systems that work for certain children, and that's great. You got to keep on doing that. But the most important thing is that the two of you are together on the same page, backing each other up and working towards creating this beautiful harmony in the home and creating children with values and love and independence, so that when they grow up, they will have you as their role model in for this incredible marriage together, but also this incredible unified front of love and discipline. And you do that, you will find that your parenting brings you closer together and not further apart. You got to work on your parenting, of course, but most importantly, you got to work on your marriage in your parenting. Now, thank you so much for the privilege of allowing me to help you and coach you through marriage and parenting. And we know it takes a lot of work. And we also know that all our growth is just over the next hurdle. So just get to work. Do the work. Good luck. And God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.